He's already provided. Let's just sing it one more time. Yes, He's already provided. Just think of that. He's already provided. Everything you need, He's already provided. Every promise you can claim, just ask it in His name. Everything you need, He's already provided. Amen. You believe that? Hallelujah. I know you do.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Mormon Tabernacle Choir, eat your heart out. That was beautiful.
Amen.
Not only was it put together beautifully, with people singing so beautifully, but they sang from the depths of their soul. And it was a universal bride from all walks of life, from all nationalities, all coming together to talk about the coming of Jesus Christ, to sing a song that we're all going to be together one day, saints, we're going to meet again. You know, I've been buzzing around the campgrounds, and I get to talk of 5 seconds to this one and 10 seconds to that one, and it took me 2 hours to eat my dinner over here. And I thought, hallelujah, one day I'll have 1,000 years in a millennium. Each of us can sit under our own fig tree, and if I want to travel on a thought and say, I'd like to go see Brother Zephaniah Peters, boom, I'm there. I'm going to go see Brother David Deanhart. Boom, I'm there. I'm going to go talk to Brother Howard Pugh for a while. I haven't seen him for a long time. And just no matter where I want to go, what I want to do, I can be there and I can have eternal fellowship. Hallelujah. That's coming soon. Don't you believe that? That's coming soon. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You ready for the word of life tonight? How many just enjoyed the night's worship? Just a wonderful time of worship. Amen. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for His wonderful face. And the face.
Thanks, brother. To greet you all in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a grand privilege and pleasure for me once again to be able to address you. And I want to thank Brother Jeff once again for the kind invitation and the confidence that he had in me to invite me. And we are certainly happy that we're looking forward to spend eternity with saints of like precious faith. And may God richly bless you. And I know that we come from different walks of life, but God knows us all. And we thank God that we are here just passing by. We have no continual city, but we are looking for the one to come. And we thank God that I always said we've never asked to be saved, but God saved us. We never prayed for Malachi 4, but yet God sent him. So it is not our praise, what we have done, but all what he has done for us. It is not the Christian faith is based on rest, and it's all a finished work. It's not a great big do, it's a great big done. And so we just want to thank God for His grace and His mercy. And you pray for us in our country and the work of the Lord in our country. And I believe that God is really moving with us in simplicity. And we want to say that we really love you and we really appreciate you. And to be part of you. God richly bless you. If you have your Bibles with you, we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6 and verses 9 to 15. Certainly enjoyed Brother Stephen's ministry this morning. And I say to Brother Stephen, it seems like we are in an African connection. So may God richly bless him and be with him. We turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and we read from verses 9 to 15, Matthew chapter 6 and verses 9 to 16. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. And for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Just one more scripture in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, and verses 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man ever quarreled against any, even as Christ forgave, so also do you. May God bless the reading of His word. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we deem this a grand privilege once again to be in the house of the Lord with saints of God from around the globe. We thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. And we pray, O God, may you come and bless the reading of your word and bless the inspiration. We thank you for the wonderful time of worship, the Lord, the youth choir, and the Lord, we just want to say thank you for your people, O God, and the praises they've expressed to you tonight. May you bless us. May you be with us tonight. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. You may be seated, brother, sister. Amen. I want to speak on the freedom and the power and freedom through forgiveness. And I trust that God will richly bless us by the way of His word. Brother Branham says, if you do anything and you see God blesses that thing, he says, stay right there. And I believe that when God, you know, shows you something where God wants to use you in and God blesses that, then he says, stay right there because that's where God wants you to be. And it's the same way if you walk in the field and you find one diamond, you would know there's much of those diamonds right there. Because God is not going to place one diamond in one field. And if you find an animal that you've never seen before in a forest somewhere, then you must know there's more of the same kind there. Amen. And that's the same exactly. If God blesses you on a revelation or God blesses you on something God wants you to do, and you see the blessings of God upon it, then you stay right there because there's many more blessings right in that environment. Amen. And so we thank God tonight that we are here. Because God has expressed us to be here. We are here because we are the attributes of Almighty God. And as Brother Branham says, that Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Enoch could not see death. The only thing Enoch could see was his own revelation. And that's why the Church of Jesus Christ tonight, we cannot see death. We can only see our revelation. Because we are walking with the revealed Word of God. Now, I want to take the subject on forgiveness. The power and freedom through forgiveness in your marriage and in your daily walk of life. Our eternal destination is not altogether determined by what we see or what we hear, but it's determined on what discernment we have of what we see and what we hear. Amen. Every man on this earth has been given a lifespan, a space of time on the earth. And everybody must make that journey from the cradle to the grave. But God has placed you on the earth in a lifespan. And nobody can take your place because God has designed you to fulfill that lifespan. Different lifespans is allotted to different ones. If your lifespan on the earth is 65, that's going to be your span. If your lifespan on the earth is going to be 50 or 70 or 72, whatever your lifespan on the earth is, God has allotted that span for you. Methuselah lived 969 years, the oldest living man that was his lifespan. God kept him alive amidst all diseases. No matter what sickness, what diseases might come by, his lifespan was 969, and God protected him in that time. God's hand was upon him to live out that span. And that's why the messenger said that Satan cannot take your life unless God is finished with you. Satan cannot destroy you. He cannot take your life unless God is finished with you. Because God has placed everybody on the earth on a lifespan. Then it is not only a man that has a lifespan, it's also an age has a span. That has a time span, and each nation has also a time span. Like Daniel's image, the gold, the silver, the brass, the iron and clay, each of those, each one of them had their time cycles. And if a time cycle is out for a nation, that's it. and everybody has been placed under a certain time to work out or to fulfill what God has allotted for that nation or that person. A man and a woman, a nation, an age. This world civilization has a lifespan. Right now, the world is dying. The ozone layers, everything is falling apart. And we are living in a dying world. We're living amongst dying people with the promise of a resurrection. And when the sixth seal is fully manifested, nature will take a tumble. It's all coming to the end of a lifespan. Rivers are becoming polluted. Industrial waste, nuclear tests, the oceans, the trees, everything is absolutely coming to an end. And all the materials and the minerals taken from the earth, they have built evil cities. But we find that we are living in a dying planet. And this one has got to give way for the new one to come. But God is going to cremate this earth. This earth is not going to have a funeral service. Because the righteous will walk upon the ashes of the wicked. So God is not going to bury it. God is not going to give it a funeral service, but there's going to be a cremation. Into ashes, the earth will burn as an oven, and the righteous will walk on the ashes of the wicked. Man and animal, botany and marine life has a span. And we know that all life comes from God, whether it's marine life, whether it's human life or animal life, all life comes from God. And here we have a last age. This is the shortest age of all the ages. It will be a quick, short work. This is the age where Elijah appears and the earth will be burned with fire. But each age and each church and each, everybody's been given a lifespan. And you've got to work out and live out that lifespan. Malachi 4 made us to understand that the only way we can worship God, if we can, by divine revelation, see how merciful God has been to you. Amen. You can never worship God truly unless you see how merciful God has been to you. Amen. And we're only seeing, and by seeing His forgiveness, we can enter into a rest that will be undisturbed. Because the Christian faith is based on rest. And Brother Branham says that our faith is also not built on rest, but it's built on forgiveness. Amen. Malachi 4 made us to understand that the only way we can truly worship God, if we can see how merciful God has been to us, that God has actually came to process you out, that sperm for 6,000 years and brought you in this day to believe the Word of God. You could not come forth in Luther's day or Wesley's day, but God designed you to be expressed in this hour. Amen. And nobody can take your place. Amen. Nobody can take your position because God has designed you to be in this position. Amen. And once you find, when the church finds its position, the rapture goes. Amen. Amen. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle and freedom. Forgiveness is the greatest miracle and freedom. Our faith is based on forgiveness. The ministry of Jesus Christ was a ministry of reconciliation, to restore us back to our rightful position so that we can be connected with God in a true relationship. That's why God could only work out what was inside of Him. God could not work out anything that was not inside of Him. So God gave expression what was inside of Him. So that's why God's mind was full of us. And that's why God became mindful of us. Amen. 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 So we find so that we can be connected with God. Not only we are connected with God, but we rotated from God. Amen. Not only did we rotate from God, but we are related to God. We are the offspring of Jehovah. And so we are amateur gods because we are expressed with the same life that was in God is in us. Amen. And that's why, brother and sister, we thank God that Brother Branham says, before God made Lucifer, God knew that in Lucifer will be the power of deception. So God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before He designed Lucifer. Amen. And when you came to the earth, a part of heaven came down with you.
That's right.
Can we say praise the Lord? So that's why Lucifer cannot deceive you, because God already placed your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before he designed Lucifer. And Lucifer is a thought. All thoughts of God is not eternal. He's a thought. But we are not only a thought, but we are the eternal thoughts of God.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord? And before there can be a thought, before there can be a word, there has to be a thought. And before there's a thought, there's an attribute. And before there's an attribute, there has to be the source where the attribute comes from.
Amen.
And we come from the source, which is God. And so we are just as eternal as God is eternal.
Amen.
When you recognize this message to be eagle food, you've heard from your theophany.
Amen.
So your theophany, Brother Branham's theophany, Jesus' theophany, is all from one source. So you've heard from God.
Amen.
And that's why the message of the hour brings your theophany to you,
right,
that you can recognize who you really are.
Amen.
Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord?
And so we are not just an afterthought, but we are the original thoughts of God.
Amen.
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 And that's why Satan can never destroy you. He can never take you away. He can never do nothing to you. Amen. Everything has been provided. The ministry of Jesus Christ was wrapped in forgiveness. The disciples prayed that he taught them was unforgiveness. His last words on the cross was, "Father, forgive them."
Amen.
His ministry was the ministry of reconciliation. God was so determined to restore us back to himself that God came to make peace with us.
Amen.
We never made peace with God. But God came to make peace with us. Because God needed us more than we need him. Amen. Before there was a creation, there was a creator. It was not the creation that was lonely, it was God that was lonely. So the creator was lonely, so God was determined to restore us back to himself, so God came to make peace with us. Amen. Not we making peace with God, but God was determined to bring us back to himself. We never applied for amnesty.
Right.
Amen. God gave us an amnesty. God came to bring us into a reconciliation back to himself again.
Amen.
And the book of John, he's saying, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship. Then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So we see that fellowship and cleansing from sin, there is forgiveness by walking in the light of the Word.
Amen.
And that's why if you don't understand anything Brother Branham is saying, don't try to figure it out. Just walk in the light.
Amen.
If God wants you to know it, he will give it to you. He'll raise up a ministry, he'll do something, but don't try to figure things out. Just leave it the way it is. And as you walk in the light, he says, watch how things will unfold to you.
Amen.
Amen. Fellowship is connected with walking in the light. Because he says, as we walk in the light, we have fellowship. And if we walk in the light, then we find the blood of Jesus Christ comes and cleanses us from all sin. And in that light, there is no sin. Because God is life, God is love, and God is light. God is Word. God is Spirit. And so within him, there is no sin but forgiveness. That's why in the death of Jesus Christ, something was accompanied to restore us back into that fellowship. And Malachi 4 came to bring out the value of the atoning work. When we saw a ministry at this end time, an Adamic ministry, Brother Branham came to express the Adamic ministry. Amen. By spoken word multiplication. And we saw an Adam back on the earth again. The first Adam never came by a woman. The first Adam came fresh from the hand of God. The second Adam came via a woman, but without sin. At the end time, God used a sex-born man coming to the earth by sin, and God took that veil, and God expressed through him a sinless nature. Amen. What was God showing us again? This man came to demonstrate the value of the redemptive work.
Amen.
Amen. So in Matthew chapter 6, he says, if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. And if you won't forgive, he won't forgive your trespasses. Amen. As God forgive you, you forgive others. Amen. The most important virtue in keeping your relationship with God, with your partner together, is forgiveness. A successful marriage is built on two forgivers. And no matter who you marry, your partner is going to fail you. She's going to disappoint you, and he's going to disappoint you. He's going to offend you and misunderstand you. We are all fallen creatures, and we are going to make mistakes. And the only virtue that keeps that relationship together is forgiveness. Amen. It's a tremendous virtue, because it's a virtue that keeps a relationship bonded by the Holy Spirit. In Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11, the Bible says, "The discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression." It is his glory to pass over a transgression. Never is a man more lofty, never is a man more noble than when he forgives. If you want to be a noble man, forgive. Forgiveness brings complete freedom from the past and all bitterness in the present. Forgiveness is wholesome. Forgiveness is health. To forgive is to open the cell door and let the prisoner free. To forgive is to let out the garbage from the home and leaving it fresh and clean. To forgive is to loose the anchor and set the ship free to sail. Forgiveness is the heart of God. Amen. And if we have the heart of God, our nature and our attribute is to forgive. Amen. That's why you can never put somebody in the message and you can never take somebody out of the message. Forgiveness is the greatest form of liberty. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The highest form of liberation is when truth is presented to you. And that's why the messenger said, by the opening of the seals, God has released the spirit of truth. And when truth comes to you, it liberates you. It sets you free. It releases anger and pain. It is healthy and wholesome. It releases tension. It brings peace. It is a man at his noblest when you can forgive. Amen. It is his glory to overlook a transgression. It is a glory of a man to overlook a transgression. No marriage, no friendship can survive in the absence of forgiveness. No marriage can survive. No friendship can survive in the absence of forgiveness. Because you are going to fail the one that you love. You're going to have conflict in your home. You're not going to understand the way she operates. You're not going to understand her makeup or her temperament. And you're going to disappoint, because we are in the body of sin. And as the messenger said, as long as we're in this body, we're going to have a sticky nature that's going to bother us. But on the inside, we are born again. If you don't forgive instantly and constantly, you will accumulate bitterness. And that's why you should never build up a grudge against your wife or your husband and hold it inside of you, or your in-laws or the family, or somebody that you don't like his makeup or his temperament. But you got to absolutely, instantly, and constantly forgive. It is for the sake not only of your spirit, but it's for the sake of your health. Amen. Brother Benham says, medical science has discovered if a man has grudge in his life, it will deform, it will create heart failure. If he has a continual bitterness, it will develop cancer in the body. If he's continually worrying about situations, he'll have ulcers in the stomach. So for your own health, it's healthy not to live with bitterness in your life. Amen. Somebody might believe different what you believe. Don't hold a grudge against anybody. Somebody might not see the way you see the message. Don't build a grudge. Don't hold anything against anybody. But have a clean spirit, because God can only bring a divine victory for you if your spirit is clean. Amen. Amen. So instantly and constantly you will accumulate bitterness that will not only destroy your spirit, but it will also destroy your health. That's why Brother Branham says in the message, Uniting Time and Sign, he says, may God help me to never cry my life with a complaining spirit. He says, the most horrible thing you can find to see an old man and an old woman constantly complaining. May God give us grace never to complain. There are some people in local churches that they always complain about everything in the church, but they won't leave the church. And you just wonder they could just go somewhere else, but they don't want to go somewhere else, but they're just constantly complaining. They love the word, they love everything, they love the fellowship, but they're always finding fault with somebody. But it brings, brother, sister, not good for your health. That's why your life has got to be as he forgave you, you've got to forgive others. Forgiveness is the most God-like act a person can do. If you forgive, you are like God. No act is more like God than forgiveness. Never are you more like God when you forgive someone who has offended you. You are godly when you can forgive. You are holy when you can forgive. You are godlike when you can forgive. It is a statement of undeserved, unearned love that confirms to the offender that there is no anger and no hatred. No desire for vengeance, no retaliation, because guilt has been removed. Amen. Amen. As Brother Jeff said, this end time ministry not only brought us Luther's justification, but this message of the hour was the ultimate of justification. Never before did anybody say, you are not only forgiven, but you're justified. As though you've never ever sinned before. Luther never really preached justification. The ultimate of justification came by this end time ministry. Can we say praise the Lord? That's why Brother Branham said the word that fell on Pentecost will not work for the day. This is another day. This is another hour. Amen. This is the rapturing hour. This is the hour that God has absolutely brought out the ultimate of the word. The fullness of the word. The prophet says in desperation, the entire Holy Ghost has come and visited the church at the end time. Not only a part of God, but God in its full attribute has come to visit the church in this hour. Amen. And the prophet of God says the pillar of fire is the fullness of the attribute of God. And when Paul met the pillar of fire, Paul never met the lake of fire. Paul wasn't on the upper room. Before Paul could get to that early church, the church was already a fallen woman. So Paul could not be there, because Paul never received just a lick of fire. But when God met Paul, he received the full attribute of God in the pillar of fire. And Brother Benham says, he says, since the early days, the pillar of fire has returned again. Amen. To do what? God is back in his full attribute. Amen. That's why Paul wasn't in the upper room, and Brother Benham was in Azusa Street. When Paul came to his church, the church was already a fallen woman. And Paul said, I desire to present Christ a beloved bride. I desire, but he says, I'm afraid you have been bewitched by another spirit, another Jesus, another gospel. But he knew by prophecy that the end time messenger will come and do the presentation work. Amen. Brother Branham was a messenger for the Pentecostals. Amen. But they refuse him. So God is now taking the elected Pentecostals out and bring them into the headstone. Amen. Forgiveness. There is no self-pity, no bitterness, and that is the attitude of God towards us. While we were yet sinners, God gave us that personal verbal promise. Amen. We live in a generation with a society on the road to self-destruction. And one of the main contributors is unforgiveness. People are filled with bitterness, filled with vengeance towards others. They believe that retaliation somehow is a virtue. And getting back is somehow right and healthy. Such attitudes are approved by in our cultures. Psychologists tell us we need to give vent and tell people what they need to hear. They say we must make sure that we do not keep our anger in. We need to explode and they make heroes out of these people that do this. They say, give vent, fight back. But that is not a Christian virtue. It's a virtue of a society, of a culture, but it's not God's virtue. There are thousands of cases every year that goes to the courts for vengeance. And the psychologists will say, it is not healthy to forgive. It is weak. It is cowardly. But Jesus Christ was led like a lamb to the slaughter. He took our sin with him. Amen. The body on Calvary was the sickest body the universe ever saw. On that body was every sin, every sickness, every disease was compact on that body. Because sin is a spirit. And all the spirits of cancer, TB, and high blood pressure, whatever disease you might call it, was all compact on that body. That was the sickest body the universe ever saw. But he says, by his stripes we are healed. We've all in our life been persecuted. We've been offended in some way. Unforgiveness imprisons people in the past. And as long as you are unwilling to forgive the offender with these offenses, you are bound with both of them. You are bound with the offender and the offense. Amen. You keep it alive. The pain is there. You are picking at an open sore, keeping it from healing. Amen. And that's why forgiveness is healthy. Amen. Forgiveness is wholesome. Forgiveness is God. Forgiveness is the attribute of Almighty God. Amen. When you won't forgive, you are sentencing yourself. To go through life feeling as bad now as you did in the past when the offense was committed. You choose to love hate. But I thank God today the Word of God has come to us to liberate us, to set us free, and to be able to forgive. To forgive your father, that is what is done to you. Forgive your mother. Forgive her an old hurt. You were scarred in your life. You're a scarred human being in some way. And you somehow try to cover that scar and cover that hurt all the days of your life. But you got to uncover that and heal yourself. Can we say praise the Lord? Unforgiveness imprisons you in the pain of your past. It produces deep bitterness. The book of Hebrews calls it a root of bitterness. Amen. Amen. We thank God for meetings like this where we can come together. different assemblies, maybe first pool, second pool, third pool. You know, we all fellowship together. Amen. And if you're in the third pool, you're going to be patient with the man in the first pool. Amen. You've come to first and second, you're in the third pool, you matured. And with your revelation God gives you, God brings humility around that revelation. There's a life that comes with your revelation. Revelation doesn't make you puffed up. Amen. That you know the seals and you know, it doesn't. You can bear with the one who's in the first and second pool. Right. And so we find that we can get together and fellowship, and we find all we can be able to get all the root of bitterness out of us. Amen. The attitude of God is to totally forgive and does not remember. God is slow to anger. God absolutely forgives you and throws your sin in the sea of forgetfulness. Just imagine, as far as God is concerned, you've never smoked. You've never drank. You've never done anything. God, as far as God is concerned, you've never done it. Amen. God looks at you from that great profile. He doesn't look at the in-between. He looks at Alpha and Omega. He sees how you were there, and he sees how you'll be at the end time. Glory be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what the Bible says. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sins is covered. That's why this body is not compatible to the Holy Spirit. It's a fallen body. And that's why there's a warfare going on all the time. But when God gives you your new body, it will be compatible to the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to have a body that's compatible. And that's why Brother Manham says, when God gives you a wife, he gives you a compatible part. And even the pastor that you choose is connected with you. Brother Manham said, the way he walks, everything about him, his personality, is somehow influencing your life. And from that ministry. And so God, if you have a wrong one year, he says, make sure all wrongs will be made right on the other side. Amen. Amen. We are the soul mated to Jesus Christ. Amen. We read about the prodigal son. He was greedy, humanly foolish in the way he spent his portion. He didn't expect forgiveness. Jesus uses that parable to show us forgiveness. His father forgave him unconditionally. His father never questioned him. Why did you take the money? Why did you spend the money? His father forgave him unconditionally. And God has forgiven you unconditionally. And as you forgive, and you as you ask forgiveness, when you pray the Lord's Prayer, Lord, forgive them who trespass against you. And you ask God for forgiveness to forgive you. And you hold something in your heart against somebody else. And all of us, as we go homes, we all are at the throne of mercy, all of us asking for God's forgiveness. Lord, forgive my sin in word, in thought, and in deed. And we want forgiveness. But some of us don't want to give forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 4:32, the Bible says, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. God forgave you, and that's why you've got to forgive somebody else. It's easy to love those who love you, but God raises up people in your local church to give you a rough time. And you want to speak them out of existence, but they're going to be right there. Like I said to one of the brothers, you know, God will never give the man a third pool manifestation in speaking of the word if there's no character there. Because power without character is satanic. Otherwise, he'll speak his past out of existence. But God has got to mold you that you can be fit to handle the sword. Amen. You imitate God when you forgive. If you want to imitate God, forgive. This is a call to God-likeness. It is a heart to destroy a relationship based on forgiveness. It is God-like to forgive. And that's why married couples here tonight, that whatever you do, want to have a successful marriage, married life, you've got to have this one ingredient, forgive. Whether your wife is slow and you are fast, bear with her. Whether she is melancholy and you are an extrovert, always smiling with everybody, and she's sad looking, bear with her. Don't try to reconstruct it the way you are. Learn to forgive and accept her the way God has designed her. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. When you forgive, you are like God. But if you continue to allow to build up resentment, bitterness, to develop, you are heading for a major disaster. Amen. But whenever there is an offense and an immediate forgiveness, it disappears. Amen. You can raise your hand, you can worship God. There's freedom in forgiveness. There's liberty in forgiveness. It's gone. That's the key to any relationship. Parents to children, husband to wife. It's a godlike virtue. Amen. Vengeance and unforgiveness is connected with murder. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. If you hate any person, if you despise any person, hate that person, you are a murderer. Vengeance and unforgiveness is connected with murder. Amen. People might leave your church. People might speak against your family. People might, you know, character assassinate you. People might offend you. People might do, and God allows those things just to check your reaction. What is your attitude towards that? And God allows family members, God allows these things to happen, and you can't run away from it. You've got to go through it. And that's why God is there present for you to go through those things, to still love them and respect them. Jesus said, if anybody smites you on the one cheek, give him the other also. Render not evil for evil. Don't fight back. Don't revenge. Don't fight back, but rather forgive. Amen. It's the attitude of the evil of this evil generation, this last day people, to fight back. It says, that says, I would not kill him, but I wish he was dead. I wish something would happen to him. I would wish that God will just take him away. I wish he would have a motor car crash. I wish that God will bring a split in his church. I wish God will do that. You become a visionary. Jesus said, if you are angry with your brother, you are guilty. And when Jesus said that, he literally swept away all self-righteousness. He uncovered the heart. Jesus wasn't looking at the bodies. The Old Testament was, when you were caught in the act of adultery, you were stoned. But Jesus said, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. If you hate your brother without a cause, you are a murderer. You might have never taken the knife or the gun, but it's a spirit. It is no more just the body. Amen. And there's so many thought adultery. You might say, well, I've never committed adultery physically with the opposite sex, but it can be a thought adultery. Yes, right. And that's why Brother Branham said, he says, those television programs, he says, when you do watch them, he says, you are committing adultery against Christ, which is your husband. So the message of the hour has come to bring us a mind change. We have the mind of Christ. He said the seventh seal was the mind of Christ coming down. Amen. When you look at the person, that you resent, that you build up a complex of rejection and hate in your heart, you're as good as a murderer. And that's why Brother Branham says, I never had a bad feeling towards anybody. He was a prophet of God, born in sin, a sex-born man, and yet he could utter these words, by the grace of God, I never had a bad feeling towards anybody. We all desire to do the things Brother Branham did. We all desire to speak the word. We all desire to do things. But our desire should be the same relationship this man had. Before we desire to do exploits, we should desire, Lord, to give me the same relationship this man had, the same spirit this man was carrying, before you desire anything else. Can we say praise the Lord? If you are angry and bitter, confess it as a sin. If you are bitter towards anything, confess it as a sin. Recognize your lack of forgiveness and selfishness as sin, put it aside. Amen. If you have an ought against anybody, a church maybe you've left and you haven't reconciled with that pastor or person, make it right. Release yourself, free yourself. Because the offend and the offender is going to be with you all the time. Amen. Amen. I think it's Brother Eugene Braun that said that forgiveness is your boundary. You make a boundary when you can forgive. But if you do not forgive, the person will cross over your boundary and will remain in your territory. But forgiveness is your boundary. Because the offender and the offense is going to come and be with you. That's why you have to be humble so that no offense against you is worthy of hate. You see yourself saved by the grace of God. Let the Holy Spirit kill self. And I believe it all starts in your marriage. Learn to forgive the one that you live with. And Satan is going to irritate you with her ways and his ways and the kids. But you have to learn one ingredient to forgive. You must remember, whosoever has offended you has offended God greater. And if God, which is most holy, has forgiven him, the lesser, God forgives fully and totally, freely and completely. What a great God we serve. Amen. Amen. That's why I believe we should be the most healthiest people in this message. We should be healthy. We should be blessed of God because we have a ministry that only gave us just sense knowledge, but it gave us revelation knowledge. But your revelation knowledge has got to, Brother Benham says, any revelation has got to have a life in that revelation. It's not going to make you feel puffed up. I know the seventh seal. I know the thunders. I know the coming of the Lord. I know the Son of Man ministry. I can explain to you theophany, Melchizedek. It doesn't make you puffed up. It makes you appreciate God to see who you really are. Amen. David sinned against Uri, his family, his nation. But he said, against you and you only have I sinned. We forget when we resent somebody, we're not sinning against that person only, but we are sinning against God. God is offended with your spirit. God was willing to forgive David instantly, and that healed David. David sinned against Uri, his family, his nation, but he says, Lord, against you and only you have I sinned. And when we sin, we're not sinning against our brother only, but against God. God is offended with our spirit. Amen. That's why the highest form of life is a thought life. Because it's whatever you think, that's what you are. What, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So your real life is not your acting life on the outside, is your thought life. It is what you think, it's the attribute that speaks for you. Amen. And that's why we thank God today. Brother Benham says, the Bible says, when they bring you before the courts, don't even meditate what you will say. The attribute will speak. Amen. Don't consider what you will say. The attribute will do it for you. It is not you that's saying amen. It's the attribute that's saying amen. It's got nothing to do with your mental faculties. It's your attribute that responds back to the attribute. God, which is so severely offended, forgives us so readily. Severely God is offended, but yet God forgives us instantly and constantly. And we so minimally offended cannot forgive. We are never more like God when we forgive. And God is offended, the whole world is offended. Brother Branham says Adam was a miniature world. The whole world was in Adam. And when Adam fell, the world fell. When Adam sinned, everything that was part of Adam fell with Adam. Adam was the pastor of the animal kingdom. When the pastor fell, the church fell. Nature fell, everything fell, because he was the pastor over those kingdoms. God, which is so severely offended, forgives us readily. We forgive because God hates anger. God hates anger, hate, and attitudes of vengeance. God, which is most offended, can forgive. What a great God we serve. Amen. And we are His sons. We are His offsprings. We are part of God. We rotated from God. And our nature to be like God, to imitate God, is to forgive. Those who forgive the greater sins should forgive the lesser. Once God has forgiven us and has reconciled us, His ministry was called the ministry of reconciliation. A ministry to reconcile you back. There's a truth and reconciliation. We never applied for amnesty. God gave it to us. God was so determined to have fellowship with you that God came to make peace with you. Amen. We read in Matthew chapter 18, the king forgives his servant. I think Brother Stephen spoke about it. But the servant could not forgive the other servant. We plead for mercy and forgiveness, and yet we find it difficult to forgive. When we sin, we lock our room, we say, Father, forgive me. And tomorrow again, Lord, forgive me. And maybe it's the same sin all the time. He says, Lord, just one more time, Lord. And tomorrow you say, Lord, just one more time. And you are already sick and tired of calling, Lord, just one more time. But God forgives continually, instantly and constantly. And when you sin, God forgives. His mercy endureth forever and forever and forever. And that same attribute that is in God is in His children. We cannot advance before Israel could cross over Jordan. Joshua said, cleanse yourself, wash yourself, don't come near your wives. It's crossing over time. Let us heal our inner self. You have to heal your inner self. Wash our spirits by the waters of the Word of God. It is the Word of God that washes us, cleanses us, and gives us a spirit to reconcile with our brothers and sisters. You are going to let somebody feel the pain of revenge? Are you going to let somebody feel the pain of revenge? Are you going to hold a trivial offense against somebody while God has forgiven your past, present, and your future sins? Just imagine, Brother Branham says that God has already forgiven your past sins, your present sin, and God has also forgiven your future sins. What a great God we serve. Your future sins has already been forgiven. My, we should be able to forgive freely. And God knows exactly what you're going to do in the future. God says, I've already forgiven your future as well. Amen. Glory be to God. Amen. That servant would not forgive. Isn't that exactly what we do all the time? That is why it is utmost important to forgive as fast as you can. For the healing of your own body, of your spirit, your marriage, your relationship with God, it is to forgive. Amen. All your thoughts should be geared towards forgiveness. Because the one who does not forgive shall not enjoy the fullness of God. How many people in the message community are sitting at home, bitter, grievance that they build up, complexes they build up against everybody, jealousies has come up, and you find the families are destroyed, the kids don't come to church, dad has made a decision, he's going to sit home, he's against so-and-so. You must realize you're not here for yourself. You're here for your family. You are the pastor of your family. And when you fall, your whole family will suffer with you. When Adam sinned, the whole family, the whole human race came with him. When Achan sinned, the whole family was destroyed. And when you make a decision, you got to make a decision on behalf of your family. Not your own ego, your pride, but your family is at stake. And many fathers are going to give an account before God for their children because of their own ego, their own feelings of resentment against a church, a fellowship. But you've got to heal yourself and come back to God. All your thoughts should be geared on forgiveness, because the one who does not forgive shall not enjoy the fullness of God. The fullness of Christian fellowship is when his fellow servants heard what the servant did, they were grieved. They turned him over for discipline. Failure to forgive ends up into divine chastising. Failure to forgive, it's going to end up into divine chastising. God is going to give you over to tormentors for chastising. That's going to be stress, hardship, illness, and difficulties, because you yourself cannot forgive. Amen. Judgment will be merciless to the one who shows no mercy. Blessed are the mercifuls, for they shall obtain mercy. You've got to have mercy of forgiveness. The one who does not forgive will not be forgiven. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us our sin as we forgive those who sin against me. We all want our sins to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive those who offend us. Can we say praise the Lord? I believe God is healing the body. Many things has happened during the course of the message from 65, but I believe God has allowed everything for a purpose. We're not going to look in the past and the back and try to scratch out all those things, but we thank God. God has allowed those things to happen. But God has got everything under control. There's going to be a rapture. 10,000 devils in dominion will not stop the rapture. There's going to be a bride. There's going to be a church. It has been spoken, and so let it be. God is not interested in the in-betweens. He's Alpha, He's Omega. Matthew 6, for if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Your forgiveness lies in you forgiving others. God is going to deal with you as you deal with others. Because when you cannot forgive, you forfeit the blessings. People with dryness and lack of joy, lack of power, lack of meaningful marriages, lack of relationship is often due to a lack of forgiveness. If your heart don't condemn you, God is greater than your heart. And that's why many people can't even raise their hands, because of harboring sins in their life. They can't even just raise their hand before God and worship Him because there's things in their heart all the time. But may God give us grace to liberate us, set us free. Your father-in-law, your mother-in-law that you don't like, no matter who he is, you love him regardless. Whether he drinks, whether he smokes, whether he's what, love him regardless. Because only through your love, you can become an amateur redeemer to bring him back to God. And when we continue to live not forgiving, God will continue to chasten you. And you will be void of God's blessings. But forgiveness opens the channel. You can live with anybody if God's blessings is there. We are to forgive because God forgave us. And shouldn't we, the least, also forgive because we have been forgiven the greatest sin? Amen. This message of this hour has really, truly brought us the ultimate of justification. The fullness of God has been expressed in this hour. And the fullness of God is now in a many-membered body. And you can say, when you see me, you see God. And when you can say that, the shock pulls away from you. This body, brother, sister, you'll bring it in subjection to the Word of God because you're taking your promise. If you see me, you see God. The absence of forgiveness renders us unfit for worship. Let me repeat it again. The absence of forgiveness renders us unfit for worship. You can't even worship God if you cannot forgive. The Bible says if a man is bitter towards his wife, his prayers will be hindered. That's what the Bible says. Be not bitter against your wife, that your prayers might not be hindered. Your prayers will be hindered. You will never be able to have a breakthrough with God with bitterness in your heart. Matthew 5, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Before you even think of worshiping God, before you even think of bringing your gift to God and worshiping God, you've got to learn to forgive. You can't come to church bitter against your wife, fight before the service, have all those explosions, and then come to church and worship God. You've got to learn to forgive. God won't accept your worship. Amen. There is no forgiveness. There is no true worship. But if you walk in the light as He is the light, you have fellowship. Then the blood of Christ comes and cleanses you. Reconciliation must precede worship. Reconciliation must precede worship. In Psalm 66, if there is any iniquity in you, the Lord will not hear you. If there's any iniquity in you, the Bible says, the Lord will not hear you. And that's why you can release yourself through your mouth. Healing, death or life is in the mouth. You can release demons. If you have an unconfessed sin, that demon sits right there. But the moment you confess that sin, you release that demon. That demon will sit right there. But the moment you open your mouth and you confess that sin, that spirit leaves you. You can hold the demon by not confessing that. Can we say praise the Lord? Heaven will make no response if your heart is not right. It makes you unfit for worship. Not to forgive is to usurp the authority of God. Not to forgive is to usurp the authority of God. If you won't forgive, you are setting yourself in a position as the one who holds the sword of divine judgment. You're setting yourself up as the one who holds the sword of divine judgment. Leave the vengeance to God. You don't have to give back what you think they deserve. Don't do that. If somebody, you know, God allows things to happen to you, let them go. Like I always tell my church, if somebody throws dirt on you, let it dry, it will fall off. Don't try to take it off. Don't try to let it dry. It will fall off by itself. Amen. Leave the vengeance to God. The scripture says in Romans 12, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Amen. Feed your enemy. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Overcome evil with good. Can we say praise the Lord? Vengeance belongs to the Lord. I will repay, says the Lord. You might think God is slow. God is tolerant to patience. Give me the sword. I will go after him. But God, who knows all things, knows the intent of the offender. You say, God, you are too slow. Lord, you should remove him off the scene. I will do it for you. But God knows the intent of the offense. Amen. The intent of the heart. And sometimes you might do things wrong. Sometimes you might even plan to do things wrong. Your mind can be, you know, destroyed and said, but God knows the intent. You didn't want to do it. And you might be trapped along the way. Brother Manham says, it says when you're on the path of duty, it says your mistakes is not reckoned to you. You're on the path of duty. And when you see you do wrong, you confess, you move on again. Because God knows the intent of that wrong. And that's why we thank God tonight that David says, Lord, let me fall in the hands of God. Because brother, sister, not only will the community and the church and the believers and people condemn you, you will condemn yourself by yourself. You even declare yourself guilty, and God says, not guilty. Because God looks beyond your mistakes. He sees the intent of that. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. Offenses against you are your trials, and these trials, God is perfecting you, maturing you. And that's why you've got to welcome trouble. Brother Benham says, God is a troublemaking God. God brought them out of Egypt, and he says, God gave them trouble after trouble after trouble until they crossed the promised land. God loves trouble. God loves to bring a situation. He says, God can give you a sick bed. God can turn your friends against you. God can do almost anything. And God will turn around just to prove that you're a seed of Abraham. Glory be to God. God can do anything. He can split your church in half. Break up your family. Do this, do this. God can allow almost anything to happen. And it's all for your good. Amen. He will give you a sick bed. You say, Lord, why am I laying in this hospital, me being a Christian? He says, God comes and turns around. God heals you. And you can say, this day is the scriptures fulfilled. Amen. Amen. That's why everything that happened in the message community, we know God is behind everything. God has allowed it to happen. You know, camps and groups and people, God is, we don't have to talk about those things. They will come and they will go. Isms will become wasms. But God will have his church moving on. Can we say praise the Lord? 1 Peter 5. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Your suffering is contributing to your glory. Amen. Your suffering is contributing to your glory. You say, Lord, give me 7 virtues. Lord, give me faith. Give me patience. Give me love. God says, you want faith? You want patience? I'm going to give you trials. You want brotherly kindness? I'm going to raise up brothers to come against you. God, the only way God can give it to you is via trials. It's contributing to your eternal glory. Amen. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, I'm content with all things because when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. God's power is perfected in my weakness. Your offenses, your trials is the very thing God will use to make you like Him. He said, Lord, I pray that this brother will leave my church. God is not going to let him go until you can overcome that man. Amen. God allows situations in your church. And sometimes in every local church, there's a telephone ministry. You know, it's a telephone. I call them the fireful ministry of the telephone communication system. And they, you know, they always drop those things down the telephone system and they try to get it to the pastor's wife by Wednesday or Thursday to make him discouraged. So Sunday morning he's going to come and preach all that resentment back into the church. But I want to encourage pastors to ignore that. Don't preach resentment. Don't preach things that you've heard through the telephone system. Preach the Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And sometimes, you know, women want to give information via the pastor's wife for her to transfer that message to him. Don't even transfer it to your husband. Don't discourage him with all that telephone communication system. Pray for him, protect him, because he's the man of God. And you can spend a lifetime preaching on people's mistakes. Every Sunday you go to, you know, and that spirit come to church and they're going to watch you and see what you're going to minister on. Oh, you got the message. Next week, another message comes to the telephone line. And you can go year in and year out preaching those resentments. But true ministers take the church high up. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. Your offenses, your trials is the very thing God will use to make you like Him. Don't run from them. Amen. Criticism, injustice, offenses, persecution, mistreatments are for the very purpose of your spiritual maturity. Amen. Don't run from that. Stay in it. Hold on and endure. Be little concerned about your personal injuries. Be little concerned about that. But rather be concerned about your personal holiness. Amen. Don't be concerned of your personal injuries. But be more concerned with your personal holiness, because in your trials, God is at work making you strong and holy. Amen. Can we say praise the Lord? What keeps a relationship, a marriage together is a constant and instant forgiveness. My wife could not come with me and she packed my bag and I found 7 love letters in my bag. One was in my shirt, one was in my socks, one was in there. And one of the notes, she says, you know, it says two. She said, a good marriage is two good forgivers, and little things, and it's nice. And I think, you know, God absolutely wants us not to enjoy the invisible union, but that invisible union has got to come down to a physical marriage. And I believe that the message community, we have got the most wholesome and the most powerful marriages. Because marriage is the most powerful institution on this earth. It's the strongest bond in the universe. But we thank God, from the invisible, it's got to come home to us. And it's based on forgiving. We are going to offend and we're going to wound and hurt. But where there is constant and instant forgiveness, the relationship stays together. God is honored when you forgive. Just imagine, God is honored when you can forgive. You are like God, 1 Peter 2, for this is thanksworthy if a man for conscience towards God can endure grief, suffering wrongfully. God is honored when you can forgive. Amen. And if you don't endure it, it brings It brings favor. If you can enjoy it, it brings favor with God. You have been called for this divine purpose. Christ suffered unjustly, but he never fought back. He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Let God perfect you through your suffering. Forgiveness brings heaven to earth. Heaven was brought to earth through forgiveness. And they hang between the heavens and the earth. And he says, Father, forgive them. He's bowed his head, that you and I can lift our heads up. Amen. Forgiveness puts heaven's peace into sinful hearts. Forgiveness is the image of God. Amen. Forgiveness is the fruits of the promised land. Amen. Amen. Our faith is based on forgiveness. Forgiveness is the promised land. It's the advancement of God's kingdom. Forgiveness is what makes a relationship last. May God fill us tonight with joy of forgiveness. And through a constant and instant forgiveness, our marriages, our fellowship will be blessed. Brother Branham says, if you come in a church where there's total just peace and harmony and forgiveness and it's an atmosphere in the church, you walk in that church building and you'll be healed before the preaching starts. There's an atmosphere. There's holiness and decency. There's no grievances and bitterness. And you walk in that tabernacle, you'll be instantly healed. Praise his wonderful, glorious name. We've been scarred. We've been scarred human beings, born under trouble. And unless we learn to forgive ourselves and forgive others, we are going to be trapped with our complexes. As Brother Lonnie ministered to us. And that will result in the root of bitterness. That will canker us. Free yourself through forgiveness. Liberate yourself through forgiveness. Don't try to reconstruct other people. Accept them the way they are. Don't try to change your husband or your wife. You change, you forgive instantly and constantly. That is your freedom. Praise his wonderful, glorious name. That's your liberty and your freedom. If you can forgive. Open the prison door. Release the caged bird. Pull up the anchor of the ship to sail. Heal and cleanse yourself through forgiveness. Be not bitter against your wife, lest your prayers will be hindered. But forgive her and love her just the way she is. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Don't try to change her. When you met her, you fell in love with her. Just the way she was. And if you're going to try to change her, she won't be the same person that you fell in love with. And then you'll be looking for someone else. But when you start changing the way you were and forgive, you'll find out she is the same person that you met a few years ago. You have changed. Can we say praise the Lord? Don't wait for others to change. You change. Don't wait for others to come to you for forgiveness. You ask forgiveness. Heal yourself. Cleanse yourself. Wash yourself. Free yourself by the baptism of God's Spirit through forgiveness. It is wholesome. It is healthy. It is powerful. And I believe, brother, sister, when the message God brings us all together, healing our spirits, our meetings will become more powerful. We're not looking for emotional workups, but we're looking for holiness and decency. And when holiness and decency comes back in the church of Jesus Christ, healing is ours. Before you even ask, I will answer you. Go into this new season. You're going into your autumn season. Go in your new season as a new person. Be patient with your wife, with others. Forgive instantly, constantly. Don't be occupied with your offenses, but your holiness. You know, God is honored when you repent. God is honored when you can say, Lord, help me. Brother Branham says, only the elect can repent. It is our privilege to repent. Repentance belongs to us. Amen. And that's what the messenger said, elect will never fight elect. Elect has got the privilege to be able to say, I am sorry. God is honored when you can say, Lord, help me. Lord, save me. God is waiting patiently for you to realize that without Him, you can do nothing. And when you can come to God, says, Lord, help me, Lord, save me, Lord, deliver me, Lord, heal me, Lord, I cannot, you know, I've come to the end of my strength. God is honored. God loves you to say, Lord, save me. God loves you to say, Lord, help me. He's honored when you do that. That you can honor Him, that He's the Savior. Come and say, praise the Lord. Amen. God is waiting patiently for you to realize that without Him, you can do nothing. May freedom, power, and holiness be your possession. The fruits of the promised land, as our prophet says, never let an arrogant spirit ever come around you. Don't build a complex against other people. He says, live for the man who hates you and live for the person who would kill you. God, who has no mistakes, looks at us with mistakes and He sees no mistakes. And we, with all our mistakes, look at others and we only see mistakes. God came to test our prophet. Was in a service, was a young couple kissing in the service, and God was testing him. See what He's going to do about it. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and says, whatever you say, it will be done. He says, I forgive you.
Amen.
Amen. He came out of the service. Somebody said he was just praising God and says, I passed the test. I passed the test.
Amen.
God was testing a prophet. Can we say praise the Lord?
Amen.
Aren't you glad tonight, brother, sister?
Amen.
We can go into this new season cleansed from our spirits. What we've heard from the service on Wednesday evening and Wednesday morning, Brother Lonnie and Brother Stephen, and God was just taking a trail to you to bring healing to you.
Amen.
Stabilize you, cleanse you, show you there's a cloud of spirit, but God wants to take it away and God wants to heal your spirit.
Amen.
I want to say God bless you and God be with you and set yourself free.
Amen.
By your mouth.
Amen.
Death and life is in the mouth. You can heal your family by forgiveness. Can we all stand and praise the Lord? And Lord, we just worship you and thank you. Praise you and give you glory and give you honor for your great goodness in this day. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and let's raise our hands and let's just all pray together while Brother Jeff comes by, and let's just worship the Lord and let's pray in our own way. Maybe somebody next to you, sister to a sister, brother to a brother, just put your hand on somebody and just pray for what. Say, Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that you will just come and just baptize us with forgiveness and love and virtue that we might heal ourselves. Let's pray together. Father, we just want to say thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, and your power. Lord Jesus, how we just worship you. How we just want to say thank you. Oh God, we have been justified as though we have never done it. Oh God, you've come to bring us the ultimate of justification. Lord, we worship you. We give you thanks. We give you praise. We give you honor. Lord, here's your people tonight. God, I pray that you will deal with every heart, young boy and young girl, and oh God, mom and dad, and Lord God, I pray that you will just deal with each and every one of us. May we heal ourselves, Lord, through forgiveness. Bless us this evening.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Don't you just love the washing by the water of the Word of God? Isn't it good to know that it's all under the blood? You know, Luther had just a measure of light, and with that measure of light was a measure of character. So he could drink, smoke a pipe, curse, have 99% of his doctrine still in the Catholic Church, and have 1 ounce of faith, which is a just or saved by faith. And God would wink at all of his sins because he didn't have anything more than that. Then Wesley comes along and he says, Luther, your truth is right. The just are saved by faith, but you have to live a sanctified life. And then began the Lord to cleanse the heart of the individual from sin. And now let's warp speed forward to our day, where all seven eyes, seven spirits, all the fullness of God is here. And all of the Word is here. And what happens then? There's something that goes on in the believer's heart. Satan begins to take advantage of our knowledge and use it against us, because we become hypersensitive to our sins. Because we see the great image of God we want to conform to, and we see we can't match up. But remember, God looks at your desire. He looks at your desire. We'll never attain to sinless perfection. Now, what Brother Harold said today, what I just said, does not give us a license to sin. The bride's beyond that. We have more character than that. We'll never take a message like this and walk out and use it as a license to sin. But sometimes, because of the knowledge of the message of the hour and its full word and Christ on display in its fullness, sometimes we think it's the finger of God condemning us when really it's the finger of Satan. We have to forgive ourselves also. He does. He does. He does. And we have to believe it. It's all under the blood. It's all under the blood. Free yourself by believing one of the most primary revelations. He who knew no sin became your sin, that you might be the righteousness of God in Christ. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and forgive us from all unrighteousness. We couldn't be Lutherans. We can't be Wesleyans. We know what the prize for the mark of the high calling is. We know what God is asking us to attain to. But where we fall short, God's not looking in our shortcomings. Remember what a prophet said. He doesn't see your sins. He said he hears your voice screaming through the blood and looks over to your theophany and says, what do you have need of, son? It's a finished work. The last thing he said on the cross, it is finished. And during the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all the mystery of God will be finished. He did it all, didn't he? It's all under the blood. Let's just sing that unto him. It's all under the blood.
Because it's all.
Just a moment. I want you to bow your head for just a moment. While every head is bowed and every heart is bowed, if there are those in our midst that say, Brother Jeff, I've strayed from the things of God. I've strayed from the Word of God. I've strayed from the family of God. I strayed from truth, and I know I have. Tonight, I want to raise my hand and say, Lord Jesus, take me back under the fold. Forgive me for my sins. I want to come back home. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. Mean it from the God bless you. Wonderful. My. Good. Come back home fully, completely, totally under the blood. Completely. You'll remember it, but he doesn't remember it anymore. Just make it right with him now. Come back home. Come back home. Get everything that's wrong in your life right, right now. And let all guilt, condemnation leave you. Just be set free by the words you've heard tonight. Just let it set you free. Let it set you free. Forgive those that have offended you, and forgive yourself. Do you need forgiveness? Sure you do. Then forgive those that have offended you. Forgive it. Release them. By freeing them, you free yourself. And then free yourself right now by saying, Lord Jesus, I accept your pardon. I accept your pardon in its fullness, in its entirety. I'm going to leave my guilt. I'm going to leave my shame. I'm going to leave my doubts. I'm going to leave my fears right here at this church right now. It's all under the blood. No more guilt. I'm leaving it at your altar. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. You ask me why I'm happy? I'll just tell you why. I know my sins are gone. You got a little time to sing some songs? Amen. Tomorrow we'll have service. It's the last service we'll have, 9:30 in the morning. Brother Barry Coffey is going to address this audience, preach from the depth of his heart, the things of God, and no doubt the Holy Spirit will summarize everything that's been said and done. I'm looking forward to a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord this morning. Let's sing that now. You ask me why I'm happy.
You ask me why I'm happy. Well, I'll just tell you why.
Yeah. Jesus.
I want to take the same song and I want to sing it half as slow. I mean real slow. And I want you to raise your hands. I just want you to sway like the ocean. Close your eyes. Forget about the guy next to you. Even if you hit him in the head, forget it. Don't worry. And just sway. Now, this is the way we sing this song on communion night at our assembly. We sing it real slow. And I want you to catch the words. Is that the first one we're going to talk about? I want you to catch the words when you sing it this way. It's really beautiful. All right.
What can wash away my sin? Thank you.
Hallelujah.